All right, good to be with you today. I thought we would just go through a few case studies. And, you know, my view on this is a bit like I tell my kids, the reason you should listen to me is not because I've done things right, because I've seen things done wrong. And so what we're going to do is talk about some case studies. Let me begin by talking about what we have as a platform. You could think of it as a Zillow for intellectual property. We can load any patent. We model the global patent system as a prediction market. We look at patents as real options in technology landscapes. So it's essentially like real estate options in technology parts of town. And we're able to basically take any portfolio and look at it the same way you would manage your equities or other, you know, assets. That creates an opportunity for us to manage large portfolios, to understand where they sit within referential networks, what the strategic value potentially would be for them. I have a good friend who is a chief economist for the Department of Justice. He's extremely interested and has been working with us to think about how to settle, you know, large antitrust related cases. So the platform is really for us the differentiator. It allows us to see where these things sit, to understand what the market value is of the technology that's been claimed, and understand its strategic value vis-a-vis all the players that might be potential buyers of the technology. Recently, we had a portfolio, you know, we were contacted by a trustee, and with that trustee asked us about this company. Within 45 seconds, I could pull up information that showed me exactly who referenced their portfolio of patents, who, you know, what their history was in terms of filing for patents, which technology spaces they sit in, who the primary and most valuable inventors are. And by knowing this quickly, I can begin to get a feel for, you know, what the opportunity is there and how we would go about monetizing those assets for the benefit of creditors. So what tells us, one, what the expected liquidation value is of the technology itself. Now, there can be issues with the claims, but that's important. The portfolio size and its age. So is this an early kind of emerging technology or is it kind of later in the cycle? We can look at adjacencies and we can look at, as I said, key technologies and key inventors. And literally this is a search and two clicks. As you can imagine, we don't sell our time. Now we've had done a lot of work. We were involved in the Google Motorola transaction. Our chairman is Tom Meredith in Austin, and he helped negotiate the breakup of Motorola into two companies. We analyzed a portfolio for them, and in passing mentioned that when we look at their whole portfolio, we estimate its value at $12.5 billion. That was on a Tuesday. That Friday, we were introduced to Frank Quattrone, and the following Monday, Google announced they were buying Motorola for $12.5 billion. We've done M&A transaction advisory for, you know, private equity firms, hedge funds, for corporates, GE, Dell, et cetera. And we've even worked on a number of trading strategies where we look at intellectual property as this hidden asset sitting really not on the balance sheet, but on the kind of pseudo balance sheet. All right, so let's talk about a few cases. One I want to talk about is Oxane. It's a portfolio of proppant patents out of a company in Houston, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. So we were contacted by the trustee, and we built portfolios, or we built actually analyses for 9 different potential buyers. We were able to, and I'll show you some of the things that we have here. We were able to kind of show the strategic value of the portfolio to various players. We're able to analyze quickly the patents, the space that they sit in. So you can see here the companies that we thought would be potential buyers. We're able to analyze the rapid growth in that market. So this is a way of looking at, like, you know, how many people are building structures in that part of town, if you think about it from a technology landscape perspective. And then we were able to see kind of not only who held the patents that were adjacent to these, but also what we estimated the relative value of the portfolios were. Notice that, you know, that Halliburton owns about 20% of the patents, but we estimated about 60% of the value in those patents in the space. So we built targeted decks around the strategic value of the Oxane portfolio to each of those potential buyers. There were 9 of them. 3 of them showed up in Houston in the courtroom. And let me tell you kind of what happened. So in the process of doing all this, we looked at some Halliburton patents that were adjacent and actually referenced this Oxane portfolio. And we came up with a new product idea that leveraged a technology that Halliburton had and combined it with this. And so on the day of the auction, Halliburton bought the portfolio for $3.35 million. There were three bidders there, two from Europe, one from Halliburton. Afterwards, the trustee approached the bidder and said, "What in the world just happened?" And the bidder said, "Well, I had a limit of $5 million without even calling back to the home office. The other bidders who came were only worried about somebody else buying it and enforcing it against us, so they weren't willing to bid it up. And ultimately, we're going to build the product that IPX recommended." So by us putting together this IP, look at the IP landscape and coming up with a new product idea, it was that new product idea that actually drove the price of this for Halliburton.